looking forward to the statement of faith in regard to missions that we have is in your bulletin for you to look at. And it's really a backbone of Stony Brook, the mission statement, the obedience to the command to make disciples. In college church's statement of faith, which Jim noted last week, Stony Brook accepted sort of because it was a statement of faith that everybody had already agreed on and a good statement. And it's interesting, the one change was that they had this section as our command as opposed to our mission, which is just kind of struck me. And if you look up their statement of faith, they also have scripture attached to it, which maybe we should do. I can talk to the people who help me to do things on the website as needed. So anyway, the scripture passages that they have, a couple of them are the ones that are the text in the bulletin, scripture passages that I believe most of us are very familiar with, to Jesus' command to make disciples of all nations, to baptize them, to teach them, and to just go forth proclaiming the gospel from Matthew chapter 28, and the passage from John that talks about caring for the needs of others. If we don't care for the needs of others, then the love of God is not in us. This morning, though, I want to approach this from a different way. Something that grabbed me was from the scriptures that I used as a call to worship. And so what I want to do is have you turn again to Psalm 96 and look at that. The consistency in scripture of proclaiming God's greatness, God's good, God's mission, God's salvation, and the care for others is consistent throughout scripture. And so I just want to look at this, and particularly the attitude of heart that we find in Psalm 96. So look at that with me. Verse 1, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. The expansiveness of this I want you to have in mind, just to kind of grasp the fact that all the earth is included in God's purpose and plan. Verse 2, sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. So you have there in Psalm 96 that God's people are to have an attitude of singing to God, which is a joyful expression, right? And proclaiming his greatness and his salvation in particular. Right at the beginning of this psalm, and we know that, and we believe that our salvation is better defined for us through Jesus Christ. If you look just a few pages over in the Psalms, it talks about the heart of God and his desire to bring people who have been alienated from him, broken relationship with him. All through the scripture, we fall, the human race falls at the beginning, and the Bible is a book about calling people back to himself. Psalm 103. I just want to look at verses 7 through 18. I'm going to read this and just let the word speak for itself quite a bit this morning, I think. Psalm 103, it starts out beautifully, but at verse 7 it goes, he made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The heart of God here. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Notice there's always a responsiveness required, though. God has compassion to those who acknowledge him, who fear him, revere him. You know, the fear comes from the reality that we'll face judgment for our wrongdoing if we don't repent and turn around. But there's also that reverence and awe that we ought to have in that word fear, and really this appreciation that such an awesome God would show compassion on us and want to embrace us as a father. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. He knows our weakness, right? As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows it over and it is gone, and its place is remembered no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's God is with those who fear him. So as we observe life in here in this world, it comes and goes quickly. The older you get, the quicker it seems. And yet there's this promise of eternity that God will continue in God's love from everlasting to everlasting. I'll read 17 again. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. So you see this desire of God, this compassion of God to call people to himself. But we need to have responsive hearts. We need to make a decision to follow him. Another passage, just to make clear what we understand, how we step into God's salvation, I do want to read from 1 John chapter 1, starting at verse 5. So this is the fulfillment of this salvation. It's begun to be acknowledged in the Old Testament, God calling for his people. Sacrifices were made on the people's behalf, that the idea that sin needed to be atoned for. And in the New Testament, we have the full answer of how our forgiveness comes. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So we bring in Jesus, his purifying power. Verse 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and forgives us our sins and purifies us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. So you see the proclamation of the gospel, you see the means of our forgiveness is there in the atoning work of Jesus, but our response is required. We have to make the decision to follow Jesus, to pray for forgiveness, to respond to the God who is reaching out to us through Christ. We have to say yes to him. We have to say, I'm sorry. I'm a broken, sinful person. Help me. Forgive me. Just a little bit from chapter 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. We're supposed to live in close relationship with God so that sin doesn't govern our lives. That's a process we have to work through. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the world. So there you have this personal, this forgiveness that we need to be seeking, responding to, asking for. And then we come into Christ's family, God's family, and we become a part of proclaiming that message to the world. Back to Psalm 96. Just look at the words in the psalm. And I'm just going to point these out relatively quickly. Started out with sing to the Lord, praise his name, so you have this expression, and then proclaim, so that's sort of speaking out, right, his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. So you see in the Hebrew scriptures, to the people of Israel, they are being called to acknowledge God and to tell about God. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared among the gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. So you see, there is that exclusiveness, too, of the one God. You'll have no other gods before me. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. sanctuary, is a place set apart where God enters, where we may enter. This is like a sanctuary. It doesn't look bad, but it's not what you think of as a sanctuary normally. But any place where you go to meet with God, particularly with a gathering of people, it becomes a sanctuary. Going on, verse 7, ascribe to the Lord, O family of nations, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. That ascribe means talk about his attributes. Talk about who God is. Tell the story. So you have these promptings to be open and excited about who God is and to talk about it and to share it. And then verse 9, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. And if you understand that word worship, it means to fall down before. And again, that's acknowledging the awesomeness of God, recognizing that judgment is coming, but also that we have this compassionate Father who desires to forgive us. So we worship him. Verse 10, say, you know, just say it. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Verse 11, let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound in all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes, he will judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in truth. I was standing by the back door to cool off. I just get blown away by the creatures in this world. There was a little slug on the threshold of the door coming in. Now I know the slug wasn't coming in to worship. But it just struck me, the wonder of creation, these small creatures, and whether those created beings know it or not, just their living, just the wonder of them brings glory to God, right? And the joy of this passage is what I want you to catch. Because when I first started out in the Christian faith, I came from the typical 1970s background of, you know, there's a lot of cliches, you know, but it's sort of like do what you want. You know, there's no restraints. And, you know, whether it was, not that I got overly involved to the point of disaster and anything, but there was drugs around, there was alcohol around, there was other things around, right? And that's what was happening at Long Meadow High School in the 70s. And that's what the fellowship was around. We played sports and then we had parties. That's what it's about. So it was really hard to come to Christ and realize that my parents, who were living a pretty solid Christian life, actually had the better way. I realized this as I looked around at my friends' households, and there was a lot of anger and discord in most of the households, really. It wasn't that bad, but ours was exceptional. And then later on, after I was out of high school and working in the restaurant industry, I began to look around and see all of these lives falling apart. And recognize that the world is just, you know, going down, and there's another way. And my parents had the answer in centering your life in God, and we ended up going to Bible studies where the gospel became crystal clear to us. But at first, I was intimidated to share because everybody from my background would probably want nothing to do with this new story I was telling. And it took a while. Took a while, even after I'd been to Bible college and had a bigger story to tell about how God had worked in my life. It wasn't easy. I had a fear of sharing. But this psalm kind of speaks of a transformation that I think has come into my life where this is a good story to tell. It's transformed my life, and through maturity to whatever degree I've gotten it, and being able to just, you know, where it says say. Just say what God's doing in your life, and you're just offering it. And somehow or other, you know, maybe 25, 30 years ago, the sort of concern and fear about what people would think left me, and I was more just ready to offer and praise God and say, hey, this has really transformed my life, and the more I go along, the more God has just guided and directed in my life. And it's just an amazing life. And we're to talk about that with joy. So I say that to you to encourage you to just really get closer to God as if you have any fear about sharing, and get that joy. And so that when you share, you're not pushing something on someone, but like the scripture says, we're sharing good news. So Psalm 96 is all about this willingness to share. We articulated the gospel from 1 John. Now I want to go to Deuteronomy, which was another scripture reading that we had today. In our statement of faith, it says, we'll proclaim the gospel throughout the world to make disciples of every nation. And we also believe that this gospel has to do with the whole person. And therefore, our responsibility entails involvement in the social dimension of the human condition as well as the spiritual. All of this is done in the name of Jesus Christ and the power of his Holy Spirit. Kind of a funny thing that went on when I was first entering ministry was there was a little bit of animosity between those who felt like we're not getting the gospel out enough and those who felt like we weren't doing enough about the social concerns of the world. I never really got the tension myself, because it's like, to me, it's do both. The video that we shared just a few minutes ago was about a place called Rancho Del Rey. I believe Don and Lissa brought that to our attention. And I had the opportunity to meet Dan Moeller? I got that right. And Susan Mino. And meet with them, learn more about this ministry, and it's come to our attention. I'll say just a little bit more about that. But as you saw, I hope it dealt with the whole person in a beautiful way. And I think it's a good response to the Deuteronomy passage. So let's think about that. Deuteronomy chapter 15. I'll pick up at verse 4. Betty Ann read this for us. Deuteronomy 15, verse 4. It's interesting that it says, first it's speaking about the nation of Israel first and foremost, but then it expands about the people in that land. And says in verse 4, there should be no poor among you in the land the Lord your God has given you to possess as your inheritance. He will richly bless you if only you fully obey the Lord your God and are careful to follow all the commands I am giving you today. It's a promise of blessing, again, call to responsibility. That's part of the deal, right? For the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised, and you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. You will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you. Again, this is speaking of Israel. If there is a poor man among your brothers in any of your towns, towns of the land the Lord your God has given you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards your brother. And that's the heart of God I want to get across. Our hearts need to be open to the needs of people, both spiritual and material. Do not be hard-hearted. Do not be tight-fisted. Rather, be open-handed and lend freely. Lend him freely whatever he needs. Be careful not to harbor this thought. The seventh year, the year for canceling debts, is near, so that you will show ill toward your needy brother and give him nothing. This is in the context of the forgiveness of debts that would come every 7 years in Israel. And it said, if you're lending, it's interesting too in this context, it talks about lending, because you would lend if somebody got broke in his farm or his business or whatever he was doing. There would be a lending. It wasn't totally giving necessarily. The person was supposed to have responsibility too. I think it's really interesting. But you're open-handed to provide opportunity. And not just handout. Let's look at verse 10. Give generously to him and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your brothers and towards the poor and the needy in your land. So it's the heart of God, And this is the context of Israel, but we have an even broader context of the church, and we are called to reach out to all nations. So it's keep your eyes open and see how you might meet needs. At Stony Brook, it's a remarkable place. If you turn to your bulletins and look at the World Partners, you'll see a number of people listed there. Almost all of them attended Stony Brook at one time or another. That's with the exception of the Lowells with the Asian concerns, and that was a friend of Dan Brown's brother, the former pastor here. And it's particularly interesting to me because Denise and I came here in 1997 after I'd been in ministry for 10 years and needed to regroup, needed to have my expectations adjusted, needed to get refreshed in the faith and not have a lot of responsibility with the church. So anyway, I got into my truck in 1996, it was, and was working through things. And I came here, and one of the things that impressed me mostly deeply was the mission concern of Stony Brook Church. It was there from the beginning, and I had no clue that I would be here 26 years later. And looking at some of the people that I was sitting with at Stony Brook, and here they are out on the field, and we're supporting them. So this is our primary giving, these people that are partners that we support on a regular basis. And that information is available if you're interested. I can forward emails and you can see exactly the facts and figures and everything. But Dan and Carol, Dan, they're going to be here in September. Jack and Simca, we'll talk more about that in September, are learning Spanish and beginning to do work in Spain, reaching out, church work, evangelism, support of the church. Liz has been with Crew, that's the old Campus Crusade, for years. She is a little younger than me and now is in the process of moving from a supervisor in New England over to a supervisor in New York, and I think it might be New York and New England too. So she's like now training up the people who are, you know, in their 20s and 30s to reach out to college students. So that's just a ministry that's been multiplied. Emma's here working on translation, and she's still working here and doing a lot of things, and we'll have to have Emma share about that at some point. The Lowells work in Asia, evangelism. Louise Nagler is with Wycliffe, S-I-L-S-I-L, also. I don't quite understand the relationship. You can ask Emma about that, too. So Emma's in the Franco, French section of Africa where you work, and she's in the Anglo. Louise is in the English section. So, I mean, if you want to know anything about this translation work in Africa, we have Emma here that can tell you more than I ever will be able to. Finally, Tanya attended here a number of years back, and now she was with Crew, also Campus Crusade, and now she's with a fellowship. She's matured, moved along a little bit in age, and is now working with scholars to try to get the gospel across, helping scholars who believe in Christ to discern how to share the gospel. So that is our World Partners. What's been really, really gratifying to me since I've been back here at Stony Brook was I came and the elders had released, I don't know, Jim, $10,000 or so to be distributed, and the World Outreach Committee needed a little bit of a jump start. There was good people there, so one of the first things, there were two things that Jim stressed and the elders stressed to me. I had conversations with Jim first before anything else, so that's why it comes to mind. First, I had to come to potluck suppers. Tells you something about Stony Brook. It's like the elders want the pastor to be involved in the with the people in fellowship. That's important. And then he said, we'll need help to get this money out to needs around the world. So, well, that's a nice job. And since that time, over and over again, the elders have released funds to be distributed over and above our regular support. And I got the handout down here. Actually, if you want to see this, and this is just the last couple of years I'm not going to go through this. Rancho Del Rey is a place that we've helped twice, and in the docket, we are going to be sending Bibles to all those young people at Rancho Del Rey. So we've helped with the general fund was in deficit. We've helped with a program that's beautiful. This summer, school's out, but people from Rancho Del Rey are going out to families, ministering one-on-one with families. So again, you got that idea of the whole person. Well, the boys are with them during the school year. They go home on the weekends. During the summer, they're reaching out to the entire family. So that's just one. And I invite you to look at these things and think about these things, because our World Outreach Committee is open. And something that I want to do is remember to send out invitations to anyone who wants to come, because we've got a lot to think over and think through. And I lost track of that Bible request a few weeks ago just because I'm managing all these things. And the more people involved, the more we'll remind each other and work together to get this money distributed. And because of your generosity, again, we're in a strong financial position after releasing over $20,000 to these special projects in recent days. Got to be thankful to be here. So thank you. And that just gives you a nutshell of what we're about. Please feel free to participate in meetings. Please feel free to ask questions. We have Janet is here, Bill is here, Doug is here. Margaret is not with us this morning. She's hearing us on Zoom, I believe. So all of us have a good handle on what's happening, as well as the elders. Let's talk more about this World Outreach. Again, thank you for support. The support and offerings, they come into the regular offerings. We get an overflow, we give it away. That's one of the benefits about not owning our own building. We help with the building, but it's not the highest priority when there's funds. It's like reaching out, proclaiming the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we are indeed grateful to be in a position where we can share. We sense and feel your blessing to us as we are people who try to respond to you, try to follow you. And it's in the name of Jesus and the strength of the Holy Spirit that we're able to do anything. We pray that your Spirit would be strong in our world partners. We pray that your Spirit would go forth before them around the world, the nations around the world, in this world, that needs your Spirit, needs your gospel, needs your peace so deeply. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to see Andrew. Good to see all these young people.